Laudato Jesus Christus. This is the English program of Vatican Radio.
Hello and a very warm welcome to today's broadcast. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick and I'll be with you for the next half hour. First of all, I'd like to wish you all a very happy and holy Christmas, wherever you may be. In a few moments, you can listen to a Christmas special presented by music historian Monsignor Philip Whitmore, who's currently rector of the Venerable English College here in Rome. Stay tuned and make yourselves comfortable.
For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. That's the joyful news that's been celebrated on Christmas Day by Christians all over the world for almost 2,000 years. And why do we celebrate it? Because this is no ordinary child. This is the one whose coming was foretold by the prophet Isaiah. We've been listening to a chorus from one of Handel's best-loved works, his oratorio Messiah. It was written in an incredibly short space of time, in just over 3 weeks, in fact, and it was first performed in Dublin in 1742. Handel was obviously one of those people who worked well under pressure. This magnificent work presents the whole story of Christ's birth, death, and resurrection. But it tends to be performed more often in the lead-up to Christmas than at any other time of year. The birth of our Lord has inspired a great outpouring of joy from generations of composers. I'd like to explore with you today just some of that vast range of music that's been written over the centuries to celebrate this great feast. Let's turn now to Handel's great contemporary, J.S. Bach, whose Christmas oratorio begins with a rousing chorus, Jauchzet, frohlocket, sing for joy, rejoice. Although we usually call this work the Christmas Oratorio, it's actually six separate oratorios, written to be performed on different days during the festive season. One of my favourite passages is the instrumental movement at the start of Oratorio number 2. It's a kind of pastoral symphony, gently evoking the scene of the shepherds watching over their flocks by night. Shepherds do rather well for music. I'm sure you can think of a number of Christmas carols that focus on their part in the Nativity story. It's much the same with oratorios. Listen to this lilting chorus from L'Enfance du Christ by Hector Berlioz, known as The Shepherd's Farewell.
Thank you.
The passage in St. Luke's Gospel that speaks of the shepherds also tells us about the angel who appeared to them and announced the good news of the Saviour's birth. Few composers can resist an opportunity like this. Listen to the way Handel sets this passage in The Messiah. You can hear the evangelist's excitement building up during the recitative until suddenly the whole heavenly host bursts into song. Glory to God in the highest, Gloria in excelsis Deo. Those familiar words have found their way into the text of the Mass. It would take a whole series of programmes to explore the different ways composers have approached the Gloria in their settings of the Mass. So, for now, let's just listen to one, taken from Beethoven's Missa Solemnis. It's a sobering thought to realise that Beethoven never heard the music that we're about to hear. He wrote it towards the end of his life, when he was already completely deaf. The Gloria occurs in the Sunday liturgy all through the year, apart from Lent and Advent. But our focus today is specifically on the Christmas liturgy. It's striking just how often composers are inspired by the Magnificat antiphons that we use at Vespers. The Christmas one is no exception. Hodie Christus natus est. Today, Christ is born. Today, the Saviour has appeared. Today, the angels sing on earth, the archangels rejoice. Today, upright men shout out for joy, glory be to God on high. Alleluia. Of the many polyphonic settings of that joyful text, I'd like to play you just two, in rather contrasting styles. As I'm speaking to you from the Vatican, let's begin with a very Roman setting by Giovanni Pierluigi da Palestrina, written for double choir. It's as if there are two choirs of angels in the sky, each vying with the other for an opportunity to communicate the glad tidings of our Lord's birth. The other is a 20th century setting by the French composer Francis Poulenc. After the rolling counterpoint of Palestrina's double choir, this is a much more taut setting, quite understated, but arresting in its own way. Hearing more music by Poulenc later in the programme. But for now, I'd like to cross the channel to England and play you some lovely Christmas music composed by Benjamin Britten. His Ceremony of Carols was written during the Second World War for the unusual combination of boys' voices and harp. Listen to this gently rocking lullaby. Not all the music is so gentle, though. There are positively warlike images in Britten's setting of a poem by the English Jesuit martyr St. Robert Southwell. This little babe, so few days old, is come to rifle Satan's fold. The drama of the fight builds up during the second stanza as the choir divides into two parts, singing the same music in canon, just one beat apart. Then, in the third stanza, they divide into three imitative parts for a double canon, each part starting on a different beat of the bar. We seem to be right in the thick of the battle. Satan's armies don't stand a chance. Britten adopts a gentler tone when he portrays Our Lady, the rose of such virtue that bore Jesus. This work, as I mentioned earlier, is called A Ceremony of Carols, but they're not the everyday Christmas carols that we're used to singing at this time of year. A little over half of them are settings of anonymous 14th century texts in Old English, and the others are by poets from the 16th century. The origins of what we call carols go back to late medieval England. Carols at that time could be on any subject, but religious subjects, and especially praise of the Virgin Mary, soon began to predominate. I'd like to play you now a lovely 15th century setting of the carol we just heard. there is no rose of such virtue as is the rose that bare Jesu. Many composers and artists throughout history have devoted some of their finest inspiration to giving praise and honour to the Virgin Mary. The Christmas story gives us the image of the Madonna and Child, captured so many times in the mystical icons of the East and the sumptuous mosaics and paintings of the Christian West. Contemplation of the Blessed Mother and Child is often expressed in music too. Listen to the beginning of Benjamin Britten's enchanting Hymn to the Virgin, of one that is so fair and bright. During the Christmas season, we contemplate the Madonna and Child in the setting of the crib, complete with manger, ox, and ass. Many composers have set to music one of the responsories that speaks of this scene, O Magnum Mysterium. O great mystery and wonderful sacrament, that the beasts behold the Lord incarnate lying in a manger. O most blessed Virgin, whose body was deemed worthy to bear the Lord Jesus Christ. Alleluia. I'd like to play you now a setting of this meditation by the 16th century Spanish composer Tomás Luis de Victoria. I said earlier in the programme that we'd be coming back to Francis Poulenc. His four short Christmas motets, composed in the early 1950s, are a most original contribution to the seasonal choral repertoire. We've already listened to his setting of Hodie Christus Natus Est. Now we're going to hear his O Magnum Mysterium. He uses a truly haunting melody to evoke the scene.
Thank you.
the subject of 20th century French composers, I'd like to mention one who was perhaps the greatest of them all, Olivier Messiaen. Especially in his organ music, he left us a series of truly profound reflections on the central mysteries of the Christian faith. His nine-movement La Nativité du Seigneur was written in 1935, and it includes a stirring meditation on the theme Dieu parmi nous, God is among us. Messiaen's music isn't always easy on the ear, but it's surprising how quickly the idiom becomes familiar on repeated listening. Once that happens, the richness and originality of his thought opens up a whole new range of musical experience. And spiritual experience, too. There's nothing sentimental or cloying about this Christmas music. It takes us to the heart of the mystery of the Incarnation, expressing the hidden power of that seemingly helpless infant in the manger. Musical tour of Christmas past has taken us from the 15th century right through to the 20th. John Taverner's music often relies on simple harmonies repeated over and over again, almost like a mantra. But he achieves quite remarkable effects with such economic means. God is with us. Hear, ye people, even to the uttermost ends of the earth. This Christmas meditation ends with Taverner's solemn affirmation of the central truth of the Incarnation. Christ is born. That is the good news that we celebrate on this feast day. That is the reason for our joy. A very happy Christmas to all of you.
Heartfelt thanks there, as always, to Monsignor Philip Whitmore for this beautiful programme. And a very happy Christmas, and indeed a very happy New Year to him, as well as to all of you once again. Thanks for listening. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick. Don't forget that we'll be back again at this same time tomorrow, so be sure to join us then. What you can hear tomorrow is our reflection on the Sunday Gospel, as Jill Bevilacqua presents another in her series, There's More in the Sunday Gospel Than Meets the Eye, for this Sunday after Christmas, in which we mark the Feast of the Holy Family. Also, at this same time tomorrow, you can listen to an interview focusing on the importance of bringing a message of hope to those at the margins of society, a theme that has been at the heart of the words and actions of Pope Francis since the start of his pontificate, as we know. The Church, he says, must be a field hospital, offering healing, acceptance, and inclusion to all people who've been hurt, helping them recover their dignity and realize their full potential. An attitude which is echoed in the work of a detox and recovery community for people with addictions, based in the Wirral district of Liverpool in northern England. While providing a support program for men struggling to become drug-free, the Olive Branch also offers individuals the opportunity for a deeper journey of healing, to really recover from their addictions and in turn offer help to others. Director Damien Prescott, who knows all about that journey of recovery, speaks to Philippa Hitchin. All that at this same time tomorrow. You've been listening to the English programme of Vatican Radio. Laudetur Jesus Christus.